Then we went to Psalm 42, and then Psalm 73, then Psalm 90 last week, where we talked about the two elephants in the room, sin and death. And then today we'll end with 107, a psalm about crying out to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us now as we go to your word to draw strength from it. Help us in our lives to have a resilience of our soul because we depend upon you. We thank you for this study. Help us to meditate on these truths, to be stronger and wiser. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. Well, Psalm 107 kicks off the last chapter or group of psalms. So there's the book, 150 psalms. They're divided into five different sections, and 107 kicks that off. And once again, we have this Oreo cookie approach to this truth. It starts with the concept. It has a ooey-gooey middle part, and then it the same concept at the end. And that concept is the loving kindness of God. So verse 1 of chapter 1 of Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Now I'd like you to repeat that after me, just little bits of it here. So do that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. All right. Now, how many of you think if you wrote that on a 3x5 card, you could memorize that? I know you could. If your life depended upon it, you could do it in 5 seconds. It's this truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving, he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. That is a truth that at the end it tells us we ought to consider these things, meditate upon those things. The Lord was filled with loving kindness. Then verse 2 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands of the east and from the west and the north and the south." So the Hebrew of that basically means, let the redeemed, those who have been helped by God, let them, it literally means tell their story. Let the redeemed say so. You know that each one of you here, if you know Christ, then you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and you have a story that is precious to him. You don't have my story. You can't buy my story. It's not for sale because it's owned by the Savior. And you may not like your story. And there are some parts of my story I don't like. Some based on twists and turns and curveballs of life and or even my own failures and things. But it's still my story as the Savior walks with me. This psalm not only talks about God delivering people from their sins, but also talks about giving thanks because he is saving us from the day-to-day struggles and circumstances and things that just befall us. It's the two elephants in the room. It's sin and death. There was a man who was a sole survivor of a shipwreck, and he was able to get off, and he was able to get some provisions and a little plastic dinghy. He gets to shore, and on the way there, the dinghy rubs up against the reef and sinks, and he's able to get on shore, build a hut, and put all of his provisions there. And then he's stranded, he's marooned. he's off the main shipping lanes, and so he's figuring out, well, how do I get off? I'm going to have to make a signal fire. So he had that ready, and then off in the distance on the horizon, there was some ship going by. And so he lights the fire, and he starts waving his hands, save me! And the ship just kept going. And unfortunately, a wind came up, took some of the embers, and caught his hut on fire. And now he's got the hut on fire. All of his provisions gone. And he's going, man, this is a rotten day. At which point, he saw off in the distance the ship turning towards him. Finally got on board. He asked the captain, well, what made you turn around? He says, well, when I saw your hut on fire, then I thought you must be desperate, so we came to save you. Sometimes it's desperation. We've come to wit's end. That's in this passage here. And we cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell your story. I had the privilege of telling my story at Celebrate Recovery 3 weeks ago. And pretty simple story of normal church kid who decided God's way up there, I'm way down here, I can do whatever I want. And I got myself in some real trouble. And I cried out one desperate morning as a 16-year-old cried out, Jesus, if you're there, save me. It was the prayer that's in this passage here. So what we're going to find now is four examples of people who have gotten trouble. There's problems and predicaments. Then in their problem and predicament, they have a plea and a prayer. That's when they came to wit's end. Then we see God's provision and pardon. And at the end we see praise. That's four times it's repeated. All right. So that makes it easy to preach because it just, you know, keeps repeating it. It obviously there's something in here that it wants us to know. So let's start with the first one. He saves those who are lost in a desert. They're lost. Here's what it says, starting in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty, and their souls fainted within them. These people are lost. It doesn't seem like they did anything wrong. It doesn't say they lost their map or they were ignorant or whatever. They just got lost. They just wanted to get home. So that's their predicament. What was their plea? Look here, verse 6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. So that's their plea. They understood, man, we're in trouble. And they cried out to God. All right. So their predicament was their loss. Couldn't find a home. Frustrated, fainting. But their plea is, Lord, we're in trouble. Help us. Now here's a provision. Verse 6 goes, and the Lord delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to an inhabited city. So here's the provision. They're in trouble. They're lost. They cry out to the Lord, help us. And he not only brought them, but he brought them in a straight way. The frustration ended. They got there. And what was their response? Their response was praise. Verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. God turned things around. Do you have an example in your life where God turned something around? Let the redeemed say so. Tell your story. Here's the next group. Verse 10. These guys are prisoners. They're locked in a dungeon. Pretty depressing. Here it goes. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. The word, Hebrew word there, means utter darkness. All right? Prisoners in misery and chains. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. All right, now these are people, their predicament is, they're in chains and in utter darkness, in the shadow of death. Why? Because they rebelled against the word of God and his counsel. God says, don't do it that way. They said, hey, I'm going to do it that way anyway. I said, okay, fine. And now they're in bondage. Some here today, and all of us at times, have been trapped in the prison of fear or worry or loneliness or a besetting sin, jealousy, unforgiveness, the past scar tissue and hurts, heartaches, hatred. Friends, these are as real prisons as prisons of iron, aren't they? Yeah. That's why you need to check out Celebrate Recovery. You want to be set free? Well, there's the spiritual truths that help you can be set free. So anyway, I'm just saying. Their predicament was, hey, I don't need to listen to God, and God's going to bless my mess. And guess what? God never blesses your mess. He's never blessed my mess. It's always become a mess. And then ultimately, I find myself in bondage to something. So, what is the solution here? Verse 13. So their problem was, and predicament was brought on by their rebellion. Then their plea is this, verse 13. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Okay, so there's the plea. Pretty simple. Cried out to God in their trouble. Now, the people in the first group, they were lost. That was their trouble. These guys, their trouble was they were in bondage and their life is just not very good. I mean, they're going, man, my life is no good. I'm in bondage. And there was none to, it says there was none to help. And I'm here to say, I think I love living in Lake County. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things we don't have, but we have more good stuff than bad stuff. But here's what I have to tell you. We live in a needy county. And a lot of needs, a lot of stuff's been poured into this county over the decades to try to solve the problems of this county. According to the book of Romans, there's only one solution. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And we may try to help people with this or that, get them by, but what people need is Jesus. And these people in bondage needed to cry to God. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And get this, here's the provision. He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the shadow of death. He broke their hands apart, the bonds apart. That's what the Lord can do when we cry out to him. That's what he did for me, praise Jesus, when I was 16 years old and I was becoming an alcoholic. Slapped me around, got my attention. Why? Because life was no fun. I was lying to myself. I was in trouble. But I cried out to God. He heard my cry. He broke the bonds. What's the response? Verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what he's done. So the first one, they're wandering, in they're lost. The next group purposely said, nah, God, we're going to do our own thing and you're going to bless my mess. And they found themselves in bondage. And in both cases, they cry out to the Lord and the Lord helped them. And the response for both is, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Now here's the third one. These people are called fools. Here we go. Verse 17. Fools because they of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. All right? That means they got sick. That's what the word afflicted. It means they got sick because they were foolish and rebellious and because of their iniquities. And their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. So here's their predicament and problem. They got sick because they had rebelled against God. They were foolish. Now, I want to clarify this. If you get the flu this year, it's not because probably because you sinned. It's because there's flu going around. And I could tell you right now, recommendation, I'm not a doctor, but do not fly to Wuhan, China. I'm just telling you, there's nothing to do when you get there. Everything's closed up. And if you do go, wear a mask and don't touch anything. Don't eat any food or drink anything. You'll probably be fine. But the fact is this, is that we know here these people got afflicted because of their sin. They got so sick that they didn't want to eat food. Now that's sick, all right? Now some of us have been that sick. You've had the flu and your mom or spouse or somebody or friend says, hey, I can bring you something. And you go, oh, I'm not hungry at all. Well, these people were desperate. So that was their problem and their predicament. What do they do in verse 19? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Once again, they were in trouble. They cried out to the Lord. What did the Lord do? What was the provision? He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now, interesting enough, these are the same people who rebelled against God's word. But what did God send to heal them? The very word they had rejected. What is their praise? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for the wonders of the sons of men. Verse 22, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. With these particular ones, you said, hey, listen, you ought to be given some sacrifices of praise for God healing you. Let the redeemed tell their story. Okay, now we have the last one. Anyone here ever were in active service in the Navy? Raise your hand. We had a couple in the first. You know, I start thinking of all the branches of service. Navy, I don't want that. Cooped up in a little craft of some kind. Feeling like a little bug in the middle of nowhere. All right. Were you actually on a ship? Submarine? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. No, that doesn't sound good to me. All right. Anyway, let me read this. Let's look what their problem or predicament was. Verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business in the great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders of the deep. It's kind of like Jacques Cousteau and how beautiful is the ocean. Isn't this nice? Right? That's how it's going so far. But then here's what happens. And he spoke and raised up a stormy wind and lifted the waves of the sea. And they rose up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. And they were at their wits' end. They were at their wits' end. I was with my dear friend, Dennis Baker, who some of you know. He helped this church about 13 years ago. He's been one of my mentors, and I got some time with him. One, his wife, Lynette, is struggling with dementia. And the difference between where I was with them and stayed at their house last year and now is profound, you know. Last year I could carry on a conversation. She kind of knew who I was. And now, you know, is who is this guy? I've only known him for 40 years. Dennis reminded me that his father was a merchant seaman. And he would come home and tell these stories of storms and rogue waves. Scary stuff. Friends, that's the predicament. Sometimes just the job you have is just tough. You're a young mother or father, and you're trying to keep up with the kids. You're married, and your spouse is going through challenges. You're in a job, and they're laying everybody off. You know, you name it, you know. So what do they do? Verse 28, their plea. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. It's the same exact word repeated four times. It doesn't say, well, those first guys were in trouble, but on a scale of 1 to 10, there was a 4. But these guys were really in trouble. That's out of a 10, this is whatever. No, trouble's trouble, right? And please don't ever, when someone's in trouble, say, well, yeah, you think you're in trouble, but yeah, I don't think I'm my trouble. Well, here's what I know. Do I have troubles? Yes. Do I want your troubles? No. Because God will give me grace for mine. And there's plenty of people I say, man, Lord, with all whatever I'm going through right now, thank you for the grace to get through it. So they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And here's what the Lord did. Here's the provision. He brought them out of their distress. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. He guided them to their desired haven. It says here in verse 27, they were at wit's end. You ever been at wit's end? Yeah. The longer you live, the more times you've probably been there, right? What are we going to do, Lord? Sue and I were at wit's end 13 years ago in Invercargill when Carly was sick and there was no doctors there to help her. And we had just moved across the world, bought a house, and we were weeping in Queen's Park across from our house. Lord, what do we do? And I cried out from Psalm 43:3, O Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill, to your dwelling places. In Psalm 107, we cried out to the Lord because we were at wit's end. And he brought us to a safe place. You know where that safe place was? Kelseyville, California. I mean, who would have thought? And we are enjoying here the deepest friendships we've ever had in our lives. Doesn't mean the life's been easy. It's not. But the Lord is the one. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and the wonders of men. And then verse 32. Let them extol him, God, also in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seats of the elders. So once again, let the redeemed tell their story. Time and time again in this, when God helps you and redeems you, praise the Lord. And tell as many people as you can about it. I mean, I had a blessing this week. We went back for a CAT scan for Sue because the doctors didn't believe that the cancer disappeared, and so We had it again. God did a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. It went away. I mean, so the fact is this, is that I attribute to the Lord. And so I'm testifying about it today. The Lord knows everything going on in our lives. He's not just messing around with you. He loves you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, this last group of people, they're just doing their job. So here's some things we can learn from that. In fact, this next set of verses kind of gives us a synopsis of the truth. Here's what it says in verse 33. He changes rivers into wilderness, springs of water into thirsty ground. So that's a reversal, right? Things that are good can go bad. Verse 34, fruitful land and the salt wastes because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Get this. If you're pursuing your own thing, then the likelihood is going to happen is this. If things are just going to crumble before you. They're not going to get better. And then it goes on and says, in a fruitful land and salt because of the wickedness, he changes wilderness into pools of water, dry land into springs of water. There he makes the hungry to dwell, and he will establish an inhabited city. So then you have it where those who are walking with the Lord, he has the potential of taking something that's just messed up and making it right. One of the people of greatest resilience in my life was my great-grandmother. We called her Gacky. She lived to be 98 years old. And one of the last things she had the privilege of doing, she was at our wedding in 1978. She played the piano and organ for the Methodist Church for like 60-some-odd years. Now that's dedication. But here's what I know, that later in her life, the thing that she loved to do, she loved to play the organ and piano, her arthritis got so bad. It just crumpled up like that. She also liked to write notes of encouragement. So she learned how to type with like one finger, you know. One of the most precious things I own before she died, that she typed it out, and then I could see in her own hand, she wrote her name, Gacky. My grandparents would build an addition to their house, and she would live with them for a lot of years, and then it got too much, and they moved into a guest home, and the grandkids were all needed to go by at least once a week to visit Gacky. And I'll never forget, we would go by, and she'd say, thank you for coming, but could you go please and visit my friends, because no one comes to visit them. So when the Lord took her home, there was no sadness. We miss her. We grieved. But if there's organs and pianos in heaven, she was playing again. Friends, we're not home yet. In this side of heaven, it's going to be the two things, death and sin, fragile things of life. This last week, reminded with the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his dear, sweet daughter and other people. Shocked by that, at the fragile nature of life. We also had the 75th anniversary of Auschwitz being set free, sin and death. And this passage is telling us, don't mess with sin. Now, here's some things you learn from this. There are, of these four examples, to my understanding, two of them, the people didn't do anything wrong. These people got lost, and they were cried out to the Lord. The other people were just at sea. You know? Like my grandma, great-grandma, getting arthritis. I mean, you just got arthritis. But the other two, they rebelled against God. So here's what I know in life. is that some of the troubles that come my way, they just come because that's part of life this side of heaven. Sin and death. But there are other things that I bring upon myself, and we bring upon ourselves because we don't seek the counsel of the Lord. So here's my plea to you. Follow the counsel of the Lord. Don't think you're brighter than Him. Don't be rebellious. Just say, Lord, I'm going to cry out to you. What is His promise? His promise is to provide and to pardon. Dr. Ted Randall tells a story of up on the Oregon coast. That's where the Japanese current hits, right, up there. You know that there's a woman he found that has collected 1,200 of these glass floats. You ever seen them? These are the floats that they use in China and in Japan. They've been using them for centuries for their fishing nets. And this woman has found them, but here's what Dr. Randall found out, is that there's literally millions of them that are circling around in the Pacific, in those currents. And there are little eddies out there that they just sit there. And you know that the only thing that brings them on shore are the storms. So here's what he used as an example. I love this. In his humble way, Dr. Randall says, then let me thank God for the storms that buffet and batter me. The storms bring me blessings in disguise. By its force, I am driven to the shores of God's will and service. By nature, we tend to drift aimlessly in the sea of life, but by grace, I can be released from the power of conformity to this age and be redirected into a life of youthfulness and service. Psalm 119:71 says, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Adversity throws us into the hands of God. That's part of being resilient. The lights come on and the Lord reminds me, hey, I'm not just messing with you. I'm trying to perfect you. And so, when you get to those places where you feel lost, or you feel you're at sea and you're at wit's end, cry out to Him. If there's ever times that you've just made some bonehead mistakes and go, man, I just rebelled against God, then confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's the other part of the Oreo cookie, right? The loving kindness of the Lord endures forever. Let the redeemed say so. Here's how this wonderful psalm ends. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things. What things? The stories we've just told. And consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Last week, Moses says, Lord, help me to understand my days that I may walk in wisdom. Here, the psalmist says, and we don't know who the psalmist is, he says, let us consider your loving kindness that we may walk in wisdom. Here's what I know, is that without the love of Christ, we're lost. What can wash away my sins? What does the hymn say? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So today we're reminded, this table reminds us, that we're not alone. That the ambiguities, the curveballs of life, last week the big word, incongruities of life, they are settled here. Because you've been bought with a price. I'd like the men to come now as we share around this table. And we're going to Thank the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. At the time of our greatest need, Christ came for us. Let us live in a manner worthy of all that he's done. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide thy future as he has the path. Thy hope, thy confidence let nothing shake. Now the mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and wind still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below.
Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. When we shall ever be with our Lord. When disappointment's griefs and fears are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restore. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
The waves and winds still know the one who commanded them when he was below. All disappointments will pass. We're not home yet. How do we stay resilient? We stay resilient because we see life in its proper perspective. We have been saved. We've cried out to God, and by his grace, we've been redeemed. He claimed us. And now let's walk humbly. The Bible says introspectively. That means have your radar on. And let's give praise to the Lord. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. Let me encourage you on the way out. We have a retiring offering as a benevolent offering for those people who come by every day at our church who are needing a helping hand. We try to pray with them and help them. So let me encourage you to give as unto the Lord. Let's stand together and sing, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today.
Go in peace. All right. And go Niners. Oh, <sorry. laughs>